I was dropping La Weirda off at school at Hello Internet. Hi, you caught me in the middle of a conversation that Alan hit record in the middle of. One of her classmates' mom like blew out her sidewall. She had a WRX, so it had those like really skinny tires who thinks that's a good idea? her and another dad were playing a game of grab ass, trying to undo the tire with the piece of shit Subaru, you know, the little like 4-inch long lug wrench. And evidently it's got one keyed lug nut on it. So that thieves can't put it up on blocks. I don't know. I'm just like, this is a bad idea. You got that shitty jack and that shitty and the little crank jack. I'm like, this is just a bad idea. I have AAA. They don't give a shit who they're fixing, just so long as I'm the one calling. So I just called and that dude showed up. But hilariously, as we were just talking about before the recording started, was as the tow truck driver was rolling around on the ground trying to get the jack in the right spot, his flip phone rolled out of his pocket. Hi, Dad. As in my dad. My dad sells a flip phone.
I don't get the flip phone thing. I mean,
yeah, they don't have a rotary dial on them, so what's the fucking point?
Well, you know, Mike has a flip phone, and I have an iPhone. And it seems, I mean, because I have lots of friends that have iPhones, and, you know, some of my staff has iPhones and you know, smartphones, and I page them because they're all teenagers and I have to, you know, and I've actually talked to them and I'm like, would you rather me call you and leave a voicemail if I have to contact you or just text you? They're like, oh, just text me. I'm like, okay. So he's, you know, all the 16-year-olds are like, oh, just text me. I'm like, okay, fine. And then I have like elderly staff who either like, you know, I have to leave messages on their answering machines, or, you know, none of them have smartphones. So, but Mike has a flip phone. So it creates this like weird kind of communication block between the two of us, because I can't text him. I mean, I could, I guess. I'm not sure if he would figure out how to retrieve the text from the phone or what to do in response. You know, it kind of weird.
He certainly could reply.
No, well, I guess he could. It's no way. That, you know, where you do the, like, press the number a couple times to get the right letter, and then...
Yeah.
There used to be a word for that sort of texting. Anyway.
I don't think anybody ever actually did it.
Oh, yeah. People did that.
Crazy.
Well, like, can we just stop calling them phones? As I can't remember who the comedian was, but I heard a stand up say the telephone is like the least used app on my phone.
That's true.
That's true for me also. I called my mother today for like the first time in forever. I called her because I was in the grocery store and I was like, I needed to know how much gluten-free stuffing mix we needed for Thanksgiving, because I finally found it in the store. And I called and I sent her, I had sent her two text messages and she hadn't picked up. So I was like, oh shit, I better call her. I called her. She's like, hello. Like, she was confused. Like, why are you calling me?
So rare.
Are you okay? You know, that's the only time we ever call each other is when there's something wrong.
Yeah, I'm always, yeah, every time my phone starts ringing, like I immediately recognize the, all of a sudden my, you know, I'm doing nothing and suddenly the podcast I'm listening to pauses and I'm like, okay, what the fuck?
What
and
is happening?
My phone, my, yeah, so I immediately start fishing the phone out and see that it's ringing and I'm like, is it scams?
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah, it's usually, I actually haven't gotten them in a while and I haven't done anything to change that. But it used to be I would get like a couple of weird, goofy, unsolicited scam calls and suddenly they've seemed to have forgotten my phone. I don't know. Either way, when my cell phone rings, I'm always, what the fuck? What is going on here? Somebody better be dead.
Yeah.
Did we lose Jay?
Did we?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, thank you. I have bourbon, though, so.
Oh, all right. I mean,
we lost him. We did lose Jay. We lost him to the bourbon.
What sort of bourbon are you drinking, Jay?
My favorite, Eagle Rare. It's very Eagle yummy.
Rare. That is a tasty bourbon.
I don't believe I've ever had that.
It is very smooth. I would argue, for my personal taste, a little too smooth, but it's a very good bourbon.
It's very smooth. It's very smooth. And I had every intention of getting one of those like fancy giant ice ball makers. And then I realized that a small Tupperware container is perfect.
There you go.
Literally the exact diameter of my bourbon glass. So that if I pop it in and let it sit for a minute, it melts just enough that the bourbon trickles around it and it's super cold.
Perfect.
That's so fancy. So fancy.
Just, I'm very fancy.
Speaking of fancy.
What?
Who doesn't want the chainsaw bayonet for their AR?
I don't. The whole point of a knife on the end of your gun is your knife doesn't need ammo. When it's a chainsaw needs ammo.
I know, but come on. Chainsaw bayonet.
It was a thing, and it went around the internet for a while in all the gun blogs, and only gun bloggers knew about it. Like, Hot Air reported on this stupid... For those who don't know, was it USA?
Yeah, USA Today.
Yeah, USA Today put up made an animation and like actually broke a sweat to be full of shit. I mean,
yeah, they went out of their way to do it.
It was remarkable. Yeah.
Here are the accessories you can put on your, I mean, here's an AR-15. Here are the features of the AR-15, and goes on the, you know, front sight, rear sight, you know, pistol grip, and magazine, blah, blah, blah. It's just one of those like, all right, you got all of those right. Congratulations. Like,
And then it goes off the rails.
And then it goes way the fuck off the rails. Where, let's see, what were the features?
Nobody caught it. Come on.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Off the rails. Brilliant. I got it.
Not quite. I missed it. It's all my fault, Bria. That it was an excellent pun.
Thank you.
What were the features they had added to it? Was the
drum magazine?
Yeah, the drum magazine. Which okay, I get it. That's
okay.
That's,
fine.
That's a big anti-gun talking point. Woohoo!
And then the chainsaw bayonet. Like, is that an actual thing?
Yes and no. Yes. Okay. Some took a battery operated chainsaw and somehow mounted it to their AR-15 as a Gears of War joke.
Yeah, it was a total joke.
Gears of War is a shooter game and the characters have chainsaw bayonets on their guns. And it's just, the characters don't even look like people. They're all like goofy, and it's just a goofy, bloody, horrible game. And Chainsaw Bayonet is just another nail in that bloody, horrible game coffin. And someone decided, hey, I'm going to make a chainsaw bayonet with, and they used an electric chainsaw, and it's the most horrible, unpractical thing. The other one they had in there was, they actually put in an underbarrel shotgun, which.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
A master key.
Yeah. I don't even know if it was an actual master key that they used, but for the picture. But yeah, essentially, it's a super duper rare attachment for door kickers in the army who want to like load breaching rounds so they can breach a door, and then immediately have their carbine for when they make entry. And on top of that, if in fact you did attach a shotgun to your AR. Congratulations. Yeah, you've just broken the law. Well, unless it's an 18 inch shotgun, in which case.
What if you attach a corgi to your because I saw that on the internet too, and somebody said if it's you need a special, you know, you need a ATF form if it's a short dog.
Oh, jeez.
I guess Dachshunds require an extra stamp.
Yeah.
They're an any other dog.
And it's pronounced Dash Hound, you ingrate.
So the internet, the internet's gone crazy with this. I've seen the Death Star. I've seen, you know, I've seen fuel air explosion bombs. I've seen Fat Man and Little Boy on it. I mean, I've seen
Chuck Norris.
You know, I mean,
Chuck Norris was on one.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's like
my favorite was the Illudium P-32 space modulator.
Oh, please tell if somebody hasn't, somebody right now who's in the sound of my voice needs to make Long Cat coming out of the magazine well, because I love them.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Long Cat?
Long Cat is long.
Yeah, Long Cat.
Google it.
I've missed this one.
Yes, Google it. Jay, we all know that you're like the bayonet. I don't know.
Yes.
Bayonet guy.
Yes, I've been tagged about 7 billion times.
7 billion times about this story in particular?
Yes, yes.
So is there any way you could put a bayonet chainsaw on a pistol, a snubby?
Because
if anybody could do it, it'd be you.
You'd have to make a chainsaw that attached to a Picatinny rail mount.
Yeah, I think the snubby case from hell needs a chainsaw.
And again, it would need to be a super short Picatinny rail mount.
Yes, yes. Actually, somebody did post a picture of the Smith & Wesson Model 638 snub-nose revolver zip-tied to a steel chainsaw.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Power to you.
It would be more kind of like you're attaching the pistol to the chainsaw.
Right.
Yeah, not the reverse, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's for if you get a rabid squirrel attacking you while you're doing your wood cutting.
That's right. If you were, for example, using the chainsaw to, I don't know, carve a totem pole in your yard and you were attacked by a rabid squirrel.
Yes.
All right, Jay, the best I could do for you, I'm looking to see how small they make chainsaws and if anyone's made a little tiny micro chainsaw.
Micro chainsaw.
But that's actually my search results. I don't have that, but let's face it, Jay. I looking at the smaller chainsaws, I just realized Dremel.
Oh yeah.
Put a Dremel on the
tape. Yeah, yeah. Get a it's like hot
glue a Dremel to a Glock.
Hot glue a rail mount onto a Dremel and hang that bitch underneath your Glock.
Oh man.
Feed ramps everywhere quake in fear.
Somebody. That's right. And then take a picture of yourself holding it and email it to Chris Matthews.
I have become death destroyed.
And once he cleans the poop out of his pants, you're going to be on the news.
I found this new attachment. Does anybody know what it is?
Are these rubber bullets?
Yeah.
It's a drill bit. They left these high capacity assault bullets on the ground.
All right. Well, that leaves us a segue here of the, we were of course talking about USA Today's hysterical reaction to the horrible shooting in Texas. And I don't know if you've guys noticed, but the anti-gunners are pretty much in full radio silence right now.
Mm-hmm. What can they say, really?
It is alarmingly quiet. Well, that's the whole thing, is they can't say much because, I mean, so first up, you've got a guy who essentially slipped through the cracks. He shouldn't have been able to buy the guns that he bought. He bought, as far as I know, all of his guns through FFLs. Mm-hmm. I mistakenly posted in my blog that he bought them legally. That is not true. He lied on the forms, but it's the people who sold it to the guns did not break the law because they did not know he was lying on the forms. But yeah, so he was not in the background check. Why? Because the Air Force said, oh, sorry, you know, we didn't report that we had convicted him.
Why didn't they report? Was it just like an accident? Like they just goofed up and...
Bottom line, government incompetence.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, that's that, and that's,
yeah,
that's,
I know. There's one thing. I shouldn't be surprised, but
they're talking about, you know, oh, we need to have universal background checks. Yes. So, and this was like compounded government incompetence. This was an incompetent government system, which is the background check system. The next system is just completely full of shit anyway.
Right.
And then on top of that, the people that are feeding information are full of shit and foolish and incompetent. And so you just compound it. And you can tighten up. You can say, oh, the military has to be better about reporting it. States need to be better about reporting it. People are going to just fuck up every step of the way.
Yeah. Any system that relies on people doing the right thing is doomed to failure.
Exactly.
Especially government jobs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put that out there. Government jobs.
You mean like the TSA that what they do, the recent thing was like 80, they missed over 80% of the test devices.
Yep. Which was great because it was down from 90.
Oh, so improvements.
Better.
Which again, when you see that TSA's got a little blog where they post pictures of all the contraband that they've seized, that's all shit that either is dumb stuff. Like you see like the paperweight grenades, of which people, I get it. But at the same time, the people are like, it's a paperweight. I can put that in my fucking luggage. It's a paperweight.
Right.
And when there's a loaded gun that goes through, that was because, yeah, it's somebody who carries in their purse or carries in a fanny pack or carries in a backpack and just grabbed it and said, oh, it'll be good to bring this on, you know, on my vacation. Forgot to empty it out. And oh, there's a carry gun in there.
I guarantee I'm smuggling you. A gun on the airplane. If somebody was actually trying to get a gun onto a plane, I suspect it would be relatively easy to do.
They got it. I have heard very, very vague stories of people who don't want to make themselves clear, but people have said, I've absolutely carried on an airplane.
Oh yeah. I've heard it inadvertently. I know two people who have carried one carried an actual entire pistol.
Wow.
In their carry-on that was not discovered. It was, you know, you know, not taken apart or anything. It was like, oh shit, I forgot that was in there. And then they had to they had to make arrangements to have it sent back to their house without having to go on the plane again. Or apparently, I don't know how that worked out. But anyway, and the other was like, you know, the classic, which is like, oh shit, there's ammo in my pocket still, or this jacket, you know. Somebody we know on Facebook was talking about that like today.
Well, a few years ago, Sebastian from, shall not be questioned now, Snowflakes in Hell. Yeah. He got caught with a magazine in his carry-on bag on his way back from one of the NRA shows. And it was a mag he was entirely unaware of. And he caught on the way back, which means it was there when he was flying down. So yeah, the TSA doesn't catch shit.
No. And if they do, it's an accident.
It's an accident on both people's right. cases.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guarantee you, if some nefarious person was actually trying to get a pistol on an airplane, I think they could do it. I think it'd be easy to do. You could, you could disassemble it, camouflage it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you could do.
Oh, and they'd never notice. There's the dude that had he sewed a metal box. He just built a little steel box. He was really just doing a proof of concept. And it was one of those things it was just a little metal box. He designed it so he could open it so that if he got caught with it, he could show it and feign, you know, ignorance and have it just be a metal box and say, here, take it.
Right.
And he never had to worry about that. He got it through a bunch. Like he specifically made plans to fly to several airports that use slightly different scanners, and all of them, he took advantage of how the scanners work and was able to hide this little metal box on his body.
Hmm. Meanwhile, try to be an amputee traveling with 5 pounds of sausage.
clearly you were a terrorist.
Clearly I'm a terrorist with my Slovenian sausage.
Brita,
so hard right now.
Are you telling us you had more hog?
I had lots of hog, man. I brought all the hog to Texas.
She had more sausage than everyone on this podcast combined.
Wait, slower.
but yeah, like, you know, being an amputee going on an airplane, forget about it. Like, you're going to get groped. It doesn't matter if you have anything in your pockets, if you've made it happily through the scanner. No, it doesn't matter. You're getting groped, you're getting touched, you're getting swabbed. It's, you know, and
Yes, okay. Because, and then, because amputees are well-known terrorists.
Well-known terrorists. And on top of it, if you have, like, if I have anything crazy in my carry-on bag, like sausage or like Irish bread or whatever, yeah, I get the full Monty through TSA. And I've kind of become, like, kind of jaded about it, but the first few times was, like, pretty, like, invasive and kind of, like, it kind of made me, like, well up a little bit because I was like, who's this weird person putting their, you know, fingers inside my pants? And, you know, they run their fingers on the inside of your waistband of your pants, and they check your hair, and they check your, you know, they check your bra, and then they have to, then on top of it, they have to, like, check out your whole prosthetic leg, and you have to show it to them, and they're, and I'm sorry, but a lot of these people from TSA, they don't know what the fuck a prosthetic leg is. Like, they feel it, they don't know what they're feeling, and they're like, oh, okay. And then they're, like, swabbing you. They don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, I'm going through all of this for, like, idiots who don't even know what I am. You know what I mean? And it's for nothing.
Meanwhile, you know, the guy two things over just waltz through with a pistol in his pistol in his carry on and nobody even noticed.
Including him. It's crazy, and it really is security theater. It's sad.
It's not even good.
I don't know if there's any other, like, what is the other solution?
Putting them all in prison.
No, I mean, like, as far as, like, airport security and security on on flights and stuff, like what is an alternative to what we have now? I don't know.
Alternative: disband the TSA and tell the airlines, hey, you're in charge of your security.
Yeah, like they used
make
to
what
do.
make whatever policy you want.
Okay.
Have there be the plane of the you just come right on? Have there be the plane where it's one of those, like, hey, yeah, walk through the metal detector. If you set it off, show us your carry permit. We'll push you on.
Yeah.
Have the one where they stick their finger up your butthole every single time. And we're the super safest one. We finger your butthole every time. And all the dipshit liberals who love the TSA and are like, oh, you can't disband the TSA. They're keeping us safe.
Have the airline that offers you frangible rounds for your caliber at the gate so you don't accidentally puncture the plane.
Caliber, 9mm. Here you go, sir. Here's your Rangers.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like free ammo.
So basically, leave it up to the free market. Like, you know, people will go for the. I don't know. What will people go for in this day and age? I don't know.
Think about why the TSA exists, because of 9/11.
Yeah.
How did 9/11 happen?
Muslims.
Well, yes, but they took advantage of the rules that were in existence at the time. Those rules have changed since then.
Okay.
So the entire TSA apparatus is completely superfluous. The whole previous thing was, you know, when somebody hijacks the plane, you do whatever they say and land the plane.
Mm.
But that they took advantage of that and it didn't apply. So what'd they do? They did two things. One is they stopped the do whatever the hijacker wants rule. And they also, they made the cabin door basically bulletproof.
Right.
So those two things eliminated the 9/11 problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't need the TSA.
They got it so that you can't carry any sharp objects on the plane.
Yeah, but that's not true.
I've flown with a knife before.
You can carry all kinds of sharp objects on the plane.
The whole point was that box cutters and things like that were not a.
But a box cutter is a stupid thing. The only reason the box cutter worked is because of the law. It was effectively an ATS, whatever, air transport service. It was the rule was you complied with all the hijackers' demands.
You sorted out when it was on the ground.
They could have come up with a road flare and some wires. They didn't need the box cutter. The box cutter was just, you know, oh, I'm a serious hijacker. That's the only reason for the box cutter. Mm-hmm. They could have, you know, if they'd have gone with their, you know, a sharp fingernail, it would have been, you know, I mean, they just needed something to be, you know, serious terrorists. And oh, okay, we're, you know, we'll open the, you know, the cockpit door and do whatever you say. So, you know, TSA is irrelevant. Not letting sharp things on planes is stupid and pointless at this point.
Pointless. I see what you did there.
Yeah. It has no effect. I mean, the only thing that is still a danger to a plane is a bomb, and they still can't keep those off. There's nothing the TSA is doing that's going to keep a bomb off a plane. The only reason that a plane hasn't blown up since is because nobody's tried.
Yep.
And the quote bomb sniffing things that they have now rely on taggants, which, you know, if I mix up some explosives in my kitchen chemistry lab, guess what it doesn't have?
Yeah.
So,
and I've also got to imagine
PCP.
if you seal up your bomb and then watch the bomb and then take yourself a nice good shower and
yeah. Exactly.
Change your clothes outside of the area where you make your bombs.
Yep. I mean, come on, short a lithium battery in the car in the passenger cabin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, take the battery out of your laptop and short it till it explodes. I mean, it's the only reason.
Or just Samsung Note 7.
Yeah, the TSA has nothing, can't do anything about this. And the only reason it hadn't happened is nobody's tried.
Yep. Well, the TSA can't do anything about anything.
No.
There are a bunch of people that got fired from Wendy's, and this is
or worse.
This is their last chance.
Their TSA's advertising for employees on pizza boxes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Man. I'm looking that up right now.
I saw somebody posted a picture of a TSA ad on a like a Domino's pizza box or something. I forget what kind of pizza it was, but it was a TSA ad on pizza.
Look at that.
Telling you.
How do we get on the subject?
I have no idea. Oh,
talking about like any all systems will fail.
Yeah. Oh. It was my mm-hmm. fault. I'm sorry.
But yeah, but either way, the government quote unquote safeguards designed to keep us safe so we don't need guns and we can allow all these horrendous restrictions on our Second Amendment rights didn't work. None of the background check systems or government systems or all that, or the penal system or the judicial system kept this fucking monster. And he was a piece of shit. Like, mm-hmm. Holy crap. Like, yeah. Be able to top the fucking serious losers that have been mass shooters, you know, in the past. Like, oh my God. This guy's like, oh yeah, those guys are pikers.
This is it's come out that somebody that knew him said he was buying dogs off of Craigslist.
Yeah, I know. And hate to hear that.
Using them for target practice.
What?
Yeah.
He was a big animal abuser. I know he got arrested for beating a dog nearly to death.
Classic sociopath.
And, but yeah. And it seems like every girlfriend he ever had, like had to end the relationship with a restraining order. One of his girlfriends, he was 18 and she was 13, adorbs.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Isn't that cute?
You know, even if we had a universal background check, it wouldn't have stopped this guy.
Nope. Nope. It wouldn't have. because they never put him on the system. So, because I mean, he used it. He there was a universal background check for this guy. As far as I know, he never bought a gun that didn't have a background check.
Yep.
So
interestingly enough, he tried to get a concealed carry license in the state of Texas and was denied.
How did that work? I heard that,
they actually did a real background check and saw his bad record. Conduct discharge and said, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Because the background check they do for concealed carry license is beyond the NICS. They actually do a real record search and stuff like that. So not that I'm an advocate of that, but. And not that having a concealed carry permit would have made any difference in this whatsoever.
Nope. He didn't seem to, he seemed to care much as that about the laws against murdering.
Yep.
But yeah,
animal cruelty or beating your wife and beating your kid, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. But all the gun control laws and the penal system and the justice system and all that did nothing but allow this guy to be out on the street with guns. And the cops that are supposed to protect us didn't show up until after he'd bled out. Which, by the way, I've actually been hearing some interesting stuff, and I've done a little looking into it. And yeah, there's a whole lot of talk about the guy killing himself.
No, I don't believe
Not a whole lot of evidence at all, especially when there is lots of confirming reports that the guy who shot him. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So meanwhile, on the other side of things, it was a good guy with a gun.
Yes.
Not only that, a good guy with an AR-15 who said in an interview, I'm really glad I grabbed my AR-15 and not a pistol. If I'd grabbed a pistol, I wouldn't be alive right now. And I certainly wouldn't have stopped him. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like, he comes out, shoots at the guy, has the forethought, good on him for recognizing the dude was wearing armor, fucking threads the dude's vest, sends around between the plates, and does that.
Shot like that, you could function for a little while,
mm-hmm,
until you bled out internally.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I was thinking, you know, this reminds me a lot of, you remember the other church shooting?
Oh, yeah, the Julian Assange. No, not Julian Assange. No. Gina Somm.
Gina Somm. She for the longest time, and God bless that woman. I don't know what has happened to her, but she went through hard times after that. But she kept on saying that she killed him. But the media kept saying, oh, no, he shot himself. And so there was this, like, whole big, and it really kind of seems like it's a common theme with these sorts of, like, civilian, you know, a civilian shooter protecting people and getting the bad guy. They're always like, oh no, the bad guy ended up shooting himself, or the cops got him, or whatever. But the civilian's like, no, I think I killed him. And that's kind of what it looks like here for me, is like the guy, Stephen Williford, the hero in Texas, Stephen Williford. It looks to me, from everything I've seen, is that he shot the guy, got him, like, in the torso between, mm-hmm, between his bulletproof vest. And I think he said he shot him another time somewhere else. But then the guy got in his SUV or whatever, sped away. And it takes a while to bleed out internally. Mm-hmm. And then he crashed his car.
Yeah, according to his story, he drifted off the road into a field, didn't even crash it, just drifted it off into a field, which that sounds very much like being overcome with blood loss.
Yep.
Right. But everybody's like, oh no, he shot himself while he was driving away. No, he didn't. I don't believe that for a second.
No. I mean, in the case of the dude in Colorado who Assam shot,
mm-hmm,
I think I've heard enough things of yes, he was attacking people. He was attacking people outside. He was planning on going inside.
Mm-hmm.
She got to him, shot him. That got him to change his plans. That stopped him.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that he was done for. He was wounded. It wasn't going to go well from him. And so, yes, he did shoot himself. But hey, guess what? She Yes, he was. He was the one that finally punched his clock. She was the one that stopped him.
Yeah, and that's what happens on all these things. Is the minute they're challenged.
That's another thing. Is like, would they have died from a gunshot from Gina Somm or Stephen Woolford? Would they have died from that shot? Given enough time, probably.
Yep. Sure.
You know.
But who cares?
I don't
cares?
Think it's, this it's, guy I, in Texas, though, shot himself. It doesn't sound like he did to me.
I don't think so at all.
You know.
Especially since there's no, with the Colorado case, there were multiple reports that he had indeed shot himself. He went down, she shot him. He went down on the ground and instead of getting up, he shot himself.
Right.
Yes. And again, we state all the time in defensive shooting, we're not shooting to kill. Shoot to kill is a Hollywood thing. No, you shoot to stop the threat. She stopped the threat. Good job.
Yeah.
We're not here to get confirmed kills. We're here to save lives. And Gina Somm
Stephen Woolford.
Yeah, Stephen Woolford. Yeah, they
did.
Did
anybody else watch the interview that was done on Stephen Crowder's channel, Louder with Crowder?
I did.
It was. I watched that video and I thought of all the good people that I've met through the gun blogs, and everybody's like, "Oh, this guy's such a hero," and. What, he was like a sharpshooter plumber kind of guy. And I was thinking, this could have been any of us.
Sure.
Because I know a lot of people exactly like Stephen Woolford. And I feel like I'm so lucky to know people like that. And all of you guys included. I feel like that could be any of us. And I know that so many of us would step up and do that. That's the thing. It's like Stephen Woolford is just your everyday guy down the street.
And what if he hadn't been there?
Well, what if he hadn't been there? Or what if he didn't have that rifle?
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody think that guy wouldn't have kept on shooting? Because he was ready to.
Yeah. He had a car full of guns. And
yeah. He was going to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was up to something else. Cause yeah, he took his, well, yeah, he took his time in the church and sounds like it was not a just mass melee spray and pray sort of situation. It was definitely it was much more Virginia Tech than Aurora, Colorado.
Right.
Yeah. As far as how the shooting went down with Aurora, Colorado, yeah, you can make arguments that if somebody had a gun in that theater, maybe it wouldn't have made much of a difference because it sounded like there was absolute pandemonium going on in there versus Virginia Tech. And here, if somebody in there had a gun, they absolutely, and didn't have to be much, could have been a 22 caliber North American Arms Derringer, like the most pipsqueaky of pipsqueak guns on earth. If this dude started taking fire,
and would have
certainly if this guy got stung with a bullet, he was going to change his plans.
Sure.
It's the OODA loop.
Are you having cords eaten, Alan?
What?
Are you having cords eaten?
Me?
That might be me.
I thought you were yelling stop.
Oh, no. I wouldn't. Wouldn't me.
But yeah, so the anti-gunners are absolutely being quiet about this, and the news reports are fabricating shit.
What's funny is they're talking about the evil AR rifle, the evil assault weapon. That the guy used to shoot the people in the church. And if they mention the, Woolford guy, if they mention him at all, it's, he used a gun. He used a rifle.
A firearm. Yeah.
Right. They don't say boo about what
they're
kind
not calling it. Was. It yeah. an ass- they're yeah. not calling it an assault weapon.
And I guarantee that all the responding officers had their ARs.
Yes,
getting called to a call like that, that's definitely a fish out the AR. This is not a time for a handgun. Oh, there's another myth blown up. Was hey, guess what? He shot this guy. The guy got in his car and drove off.
Mm-hmm.
The other dude pulled up and he goes and he walks up. This guy with no shoes, bearded biker dude wearing with an AR rifle and no shoes on. And that guy immediately figures out pretty quickly, this guy's the good guy. This guy's on my side. Hop in, let's go.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, when they get there, you've got a, you know, guy with a cowboy hat and neck tattoos and a biker with no shoes and an AR. And when the cops show up, they're hollering commands to the vehicle because they don't know this guy's bled out, telling him to get out of the car. And Williford didn't know that who they were talking to. So he sets his AR down, turns around, puts his hands up to make sure that he doesn't get shot by the police and them mistaking a thing. And the cop instructs him to get back on his fucking rifle because it was the first.
The cop's like, no, not you.
Because that was the first. That was the first vehicle on the scene. He's like, it's just me. This dude shot up a church. I don't want to do this alone. I'm waiting for my backup.
Yeah, that's not pretty awesome.
But yeah. Again, don't you dare pull your gun to stop a mass shooter or a terrorist or anything like that. Because as soon as the cops are going to show up, they're not going to know the difference and they're just going to shoot you up.
Yeah.
First up, never happened. And then two, now that a situation where, I mean, absolutely just completely wonky, caught completely unawares. This is just the good people of Texas doing what they're doing, you know. And the police show up and they just see who's there to show up. And they don't feel the need to shoot those guys because, hey, guess what? They're not shooting at the cops. That's your trick. Don't shoot at the cops. Don't point your gun at the cops. Don't point your gun at the cops. They're not going to shoot you. Even bad guys don't get shot by the cops if they're not pointing their guns at them, because the cops do want to take the bad guys in alive too. So the anti-gunners have to be stone ass fucking quiet because every single one of their sacred cows got murdered. A bunch of good people got killed while worshiping in church. Women, children, men, just awful, just fucking awful. But at the same time, the anti-gunners, all their sacred cows got killed as well. And I'm very reluctant to point that out because I am making political hay off of the death of innocent people. But it is remarkable at how much talk and how much news and how much was going on after Las Vegas. After the shooting at the shooting of the congressional softball game, the anti-gunners were just loud and proud. And now it's nothing. There's practically nothing talking about. The few anti-gunners that are talking about this are just mentioning that this happened, mentioned that it was bad, and then going right back to their standard operating procedures. We need these, here's our list of demands.
Yeah. And yet, they're still doing the standard, somebody introduced an assault weapon ban and, some douche in Texas, the Democrat that's on the public safety committee or something like that. I was just reading it. It was like, maybe we need to do something about that, about letting people carry open carry rifles in public in Texas.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause it's dangerous or something. I don't know.
But plus it keeps the lines at Chipotle too long.
I don't think they're doing that anymore.
Chipotle? They're not doing Chipotles anymore? Because that would be awesome. I've never been in a Chipotle.
What?
You're not missing much.
I have never been in a Chipotle. Never.
Dude, I like their rice. No,
he's missing E. coli.
Yeah. Yeah.
How poison.
I love all their ads on their because of course it's a hippie, it's a white people hippie taco chain. And so they've got all these locally sourced our organic bullshit and
farm to table, man.
And they talk all about purity and all that in their ads. And it's one of those. Yeah. Purity of E. coli. purity of the
Sorry. Thanks, Jay. No,
I wonder if that's related to the bacterial infections that are breaking out around San Diego.
What?
You haven't heard about that?
No, that's all Harvey Weinstein.
No, they've got like all kinds of weird, basically poop related diseases that are breaking out all over San Diego.
really?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was their hobo population.
Well, apparently it is, because there's a lot of pooping in public going on, but apparently the bunch of Marines at the recruit depot in San Diego came down with some sort of E. coli infection that hospitalized a bunch of them. So I don't know.
Food poisoning, or
yeah, I don't know. That's the thing.
Don't eat from the taco truck.
Yeah, they aren't really not really big on taco trucks at the Marine Corps recruit
depot. I don't know.
I don't think.
How are we going to kill the enemy if we don't have taco trucks?
Well,
I'm not going into battle without my taco truck.
Don't choke.
All right. Can we roughly segue onto Harvey Weinstein? Because
I don't want to do anything on Harvey Weinstein.
But did you see the thing about the spies?
Yeah.
It is crazy. That story is crazy.
Yeah. And then on top
like,
of that,
it reads like a Hollywood movie script. It's crazy.
And if somebody brought it up as a Hollywood movie script, it'd be called ridiculous. And
right.
Nobody'd make that movie. It's too unbelievable.
He has like ex-Mossad agents hunting down his victims, doing intelligence work on what?
So, and by the way, here was something I was thinking about is you'll often hear people talking about stuff and they'll say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, or that's, you know, that leaves it to conspiracy theories, which has become like a token term for nut job, you know, in our culture. But it's one of those like, no, this is like straight up like conspiracy shit of he hired this, you know, Israeli intelligence agency, gave them, well, at least was promised them, you know, $600,000, and they had agents that took on like assumed identities that got close to either people he'd raped or reporters who might be talking about the story to get information. And they were all hired through, he would go to his attorney, say what he wanted, and the attorney would hire it. So it was attorney client privilege. So you couldn't directly tie, Harvey Weinstein was never a client of this group because it was Harvey Weinstein's law firm. Well, why was the law firm doing that? I can't tell you that, attorney client privilege.
That's how they did that Trump memo thing from the Russians too.
Yeah, but and also at the same time, shortly after this whole story broke, Rose McGowan was in, I think it was D.C. for some sort of speaking arrangement. And after she left, the cops went into her hotel. You know, they got a call and the cops went into her hotel room and there were prescription drugs in her hotel room, and they issued a warrant for her arrest. And it was a national news story for about a day because big deal and no talk about it. Well, number one, no talk about it, cause I guarantee it got thrown out immediately. Cause it was in a hotel room after she had checked out, chain of custody. Everyone and their mother could have been in that fucking hotel room.
I heard it was cocaine, but okay.
Oh, did you hear it was cocaine? I thought it was prescription drugs. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
But it was one of those like, oh man, at first I went, oh man, that's awfully easy. Again, chain of custody for someone to have planted some shit in the room as a way to put some pressure on her. But I'm like, seems a little far fetched. Now this talk of the Mossad agents tracking people down and befriending people he had raped and pretending to be feminist advocates and wanting to talk about rape stories. And probably what's not being said, but probably also, you know, finding out dirty little secrets about the person so they can be blackmailed.
Or just.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Yeah.
Or so, just dug up dirt. You know, that's the, that was the Clinton method. That's what Hillary and Bill did to all the, you know, every time there was a bimbo eruption, they'd come up with all the dirt on all the women. Oh, well, she was just a, you know, slutty tramp and, you know.
Drag $100 bill for a trailer park.
Mm-hmm. But just, I mean, just holy shit. Yeah. Hollywood script level of craziness. I mean, and again, he had terms written up in his contract with the Weinstein company. I believe it was the Weinstein company. One of his film companies that essentially just said that when he, you know, for each infraction that came to the, you know, that came to the board of directors of him, you know, sexually harassing people, he would pay an escalating fee. Because, yeah, no, it was just understood that he was gonna sexually harass and
rape. It was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna rape people, but not,
it's like the swear jar.
Swear, yeah, yeah. The rape.
It's like
jar.
The swear jar.
Get a rape,
but
jar.
Like in a big, you know.
Literally, producing films was his side gig.
Yeah,
he was full time rapist, part time producer.
Well, you know,
we're coming up at the end of the hour, and I think it's okay for me to ask this question, because just today news broke that Louis C.K., the comedian,
mm-hmm.
also has, in his past or currently, I don't know, has delved into sexual impropriety, verging on assault, I would think. I don't know. But
there is a difference. But go
is
ahead.
Is there?
Go ahead. I'll bring it up later.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the story is that his thing is that he liked to invite people up to his hotel room and say to them, would it be okay if I showed you my dick? And proceeded to get naked and pull out his dick and masturbate while his guests were there. Okay, Harvey Weinstein also had this,
mm-hmm.
this fetish of, hey, I'm just going to stand here and jerk off while you watch me jerk off.
By the way, I'll let everybody know it's way better when you're alone.
Okay.
If there's going to be another party involved, there's way better options to do.
That is my question. Like, what is the deal with this? Because it's like, it's kind of like specific, you know, like the specific thing, like a famous man wants people to watch him jerk off.
It seems like
a specific fetish, you know, it's like, you know, it's a thing.
Well, I think it's,
what is that about?
It's probably something akin to the flasher that you don't really hear that much about anymore.
That's what
but the
I
old,
thought.
But
it's
the old dude with the trench coat and all that.
Yeah.
He's not flashing women to get them turned on. He's not expecting a handy. He's not expecting the women to, you know, to turn around and pull off her clothes and then go fuck in the bushes.
Mm-hmm. You know?
He's not expecting to get a marriage proposal and someone to put a ring on his dick.
Right.
He's,
I mean, it's like,
he's
not
there.
Real
he's
sexy
there to gross, gross people out. I mean, there's videos on the internet. Yeah. There's entire videos on the internet of dudes who drive around in their car with their dong out and their phone recording, and they're specifically
wow,
recording.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're recording the reactions.
They're recording the reactions, and the reactions are never good. And these are the ones that they post on the internet.
Huh.
Yeah, but and it's not about good or bad. It's about, I made you look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my power over you.
Is that what the kink is?
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Well, I'm not one of those crazy people, so I can only assume.
Yeah.
Harvey Weinstein is like super powerful, so it's probably... Well, you know,
I wonder if that's at least plays into it, that
the
it's
power.
Like, I'm so powerful. You have to endure this.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can make you sit there throughout this disgusting, horrible thing. Ugh. And there's nothing you can do because I can destroy you.
Yep. You, the door is right there. You want to leave, but you're not going to leave because you don't want to
leave.
Upset
your
me.
Career is over.
Now,
wow.
This
are
is
you
why.
To, are you willing ahead. To endure this horrible thing to go through with my movie?
I think this is why the Louis C.K. thing is a little bit different.
Okay.
Well, for one thing, as far as I could tell, it was never a power thing.
Yeah, he just seems like a creep.
Well, he always asked everyone, "Hey, can I pull my dick out and play with it in front of you?
Mind if I spank it in front of you?" I mean, that's
and if people said no, that was it. He didn't proceed to do it anyway.
Did he stop if people said no?
It looks like it to me. I mean, I haven't read every single complaint about him, but I read the New York Times article and I got the impression that it was more of a, you know, if you went up to somebody and, you know, there's guys out there that are like, you know, the players that, you know, there's this thing where it's like, you know, if you ask hundreds of women to sleep with you, some of them will.
Well, sure.
And so they go out and they ask everyone they meet, "Hey, you want to sleep with me?" Or, and they, you know, in how, whatever vernacular they use, is that, you know, is that a problem? Is that sexual harassment? I don't know. But that seems more like what Louis C.K. was doing. He's kind of like, "Hey, can I, you know,
can I pull this out and play with it in front of you? If that's the case, and he in fact asked for permission, and upon receiving permission, that was his move. You know, I you could also say there's another factor in it is I'm grossing you out and you can leave, but you're not going to leave because I'm so powerful and so good. Also at the same time, there's also that little magic thing of depending on how you grew up and how you're present. I know Louis C.K. grew up Catholic. The whole lot of the, you know, good boys and girls don't do those sort of things. And so, but meanwhile, all little boys and girls do those sort of things. "Oh, don't touch yourself. It's not good. It's not right." And hey, guess what? Everybody does that. Fucking little boys and girls are fucking playing with their business.
I want to interject here. I watched this interesting video, by the way. I watched this interesting video. I can't remember what's the name of the YouTube channel. The Cut? No, not Turtles. But I think it was called The Cut is the name of the channel. And they interview, like, they do a lot of these interviews of like 100 people tell us blah, 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 or 100 people taste durian fruit, or 100 people. Anyway, so they asked 100 people, when was the first time you masturbated?
Mm-hmm.
And there were a shocking number of people who were like, "Oh, the first time I did it, I was 25. I was 30. I was..."
What?
Thank you. That was my reaction.
Yeah.
What's wrong with those people?
Plain and simple, they were lying.
Yeah.
Lying.
I mean, I don't think they were. Lying.
My answer would be in general or to completion, because those are two different ages.
That's exactly right.
Oh dear.
You know, like I can't remember an age, like elementary school.
You're precocious.
It's not the precocious. Toy that never breaks.
Yeah.
What did you say, Jay?
It is the toy that never breaks.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not true, Jay, because sometimes things are like a sore dick. You just can't beat it.
I'm not going to go on about, like, you know, how do I put this delicately?
We've horrified Brita.
Wait,
you're going to put something
delicately on the score report, Brita, for fuck's sake.
You know, you say the toy that never breaks, but sometimes your toy stops working.
Yeah, like when you have a vasectomy, that toy was
broken. No, honey, like how many times a day can you do it?
Oh, these days?
Just saying.
So
anyway,
carry on. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, let's move on.
No, I want to hear more about this.
No, you don't. No one does.
Oh, that explicit tag exists for a reason, people.
I didn't say anything dirty.
But again.
No, but everybody's thinking it now.
Okay.
if you get raised up in the, if you get raised up in the sex is dirty, touching yourself is dirty, this is naughty, this is stuff you don't do.
You're going to do the hell out of it. Your hotel, your hotel room in front of strangers.
You hear a lot of people. I remember hearing the comedian Pete Holmes talking about, like, he almost misses his Christian guilt porn watching just because it was so much more of a, it was so much more of an experience of the, you would deny yourself. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to jerk off. I'm not going to look at porn. I'm not going to do it. That's not what I do. All right, I'm going to do it. Oh God, I'm doing it. Oh. Then the cleanup, and then clean the browser history, and then shame and the guilt and the horrible and going to confession. And, you know, just there's so much more that's going on with it than someone who did not grow up with, doesn't grow with any shame, of which the, you know, yeah, 15 to 20 minutes, you're completely done.
That's why being Catholic is good. Because you can give it up for Lent.
You can.
And then Easter, man.
I didn't leave the house for 3 days.
Oh, I took give it up for Lynn a completely different way.
Oh my God.
Oh, but yeah, but I could definitely see the having somebody watch you jerk off, which that's never first on anybody's fucking list.
I mean, it's a weird first date. That's for
like,
sure.
It's one of those, like, Brita, you've had a million and one, you know, celebrity men crushes throughout your years.
Uh huh.
Did any of your fantasies involve them? Did any of your fantasies involve them inviting you up to their hotel room?
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Sure.
Did the following thing of the, and then I sat on the couch while they stood there and jerked off. And then when I was done, I helped myself to a complimentary mint and went back down to the lobby.
Yeah. Not so much.
No, that's nobody's first thing. And so because of that, that's just that allows that, like, dirty shame pathway.
There's also the flip side of that. And I forget who is it that was interviewed. There was a woman that was a somewhat famous woman that was interviewed about this. And I can't remember her name. Damn it. Maybe one of y'all know. But anyway, but her response was that this thing, it, whether it's appropriate or not depends on how good looking the guy is. If it's a hunky hot guy, oh yeah, this is totally appropriate. If it's Harvey Weinstein, oh, it's completely inappropriate.
Unless he can get you a movie deal.
Right. Unless he can get you a big movie deal.
In which case, water that fight.
And in which case it's, you know, 30, Jay, in which ew. Case it's 30 years later. Oh, me too.
Yeah. Hashtag me too.
Right.
Pound me too.
which, you know, it goes back to this whole, you know, what were these fucking people doing for 30 years? Why are they just saying it now? I mean, I get it.
Because, you know, there's safety in numbers.
Yes. What were they doing? There was a douchebag. But how sick of a society does Hollywood have to be? This was not a secret. None of this was a secret.
No.
They made jokes about it in public on national television for decades.
But at the same time, you've also got, like, I've got to say, I was the same way when this thing first broke of the, I don't care how powerful Harvey Weinstein is, you can speak out against this shit and bring it all down. Well, I didn't realize the fact he's hiring Mossad agents to dig up dirt on you.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Similar idea to, like, the Church of Scientology of the, they've got their whole auditing system, which is essentially, you know, what could be referred to as, a therapy session, psychoanalysis, except it's not by a therapist. Therefore, no HIPAA laws apply. Therefore, they can do whatever they want with that information. It's just two fucking people talking in a room.
So they send Tom Cruise to jump up and down on your couch. Is that what happens?
No.
Do you want Tom Cruise jumping up and down on your couch? I don't.
No.
The question is, what did Tom Cruise do to, you know, to get their hooks into him? And then he turned out, oh, you know, I kind of like it. I mean, you've definitely got all sorts of, like, haven't heard too much about Tom Cruise. But I know with John Travolta, there's all these fucking creepy stories about him.
Oh yeah.
Like all sorts of creepy stories. Not quite as creepy as Kevin Spacey, but getting there.
There's stories about Tom Cruise too.
Yeah.
In fact, there are so many stories about Tom Cruise when he was married to what's her name and they had a kid. They were even like, the people were even going like, how the fuck did that happen?
Cause he's gay.
Yes.
Oh
yeah. But being gay is not enough. There's more to it. It's kind of like, you know, Kevin Spacey. It was one of those like, all right, look, yeah, no, he's, you know, he's a handsome, talented actor. He's making gobs and gobs of money. And yet his sexuality is just kind of a little bit of a mystery box, but there's a lot of people talking about that he's gay. A lot of gay references around Kevin Spacey. And it's one of those like, why the fuck? I mean, is he just such a hardcore like closet case? Did he grow up from some fundamentalist thing where he's,
well, you got to completely denying it. You can't look at it with today's attitudes, because today being gay is,
Well, I 100% agree with that, but you know, I get
30 years ago, it was a big deal.
Nobody knows, was Cary Grant gay or not? Who knows? You know, there's a lot of evidence that says he was, there's a lot of things that say he wasn't. He probably was, but at that time, no, you don't.
He at least swung both ways.
Yeah. you don't go out and openly admit it. Kevin Spacey is old enough that in his youth, he was definitely in that. But the bottom line is no. The reason why he didn't come out on it is because he's not gay. He's a pederast.
I read an interesting thing. Somebody pointed out that every Kevin Spacey role, he plays some creepy fuck. They're saying, you know, maybe he wasn't actually acting. He was just being himself.
Did you see American Beauty?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. The reason why he didn't agree to hop in the sack with that dude at the end was because he was too old.
Sorry, your bike no longer has training wheels. I'm not interested.
Oh my God. Oh, look at the time.
Look, we're going to hell.
No, we're not. But no, all of Hollywood not. Is.
Trust me, Helen, I am. I don't know about the rest of you.
Kevin Spacey sexually assaults minor children.
And then tries to brush it aside by saying, I'm going to live as a gay man now.
Yeah.
Like, in the, I swear to God, I mentioned this last time, I have actually heard people that, you know, gay activists that are like, oh, fuck.
They're like, you're shitting me. You know
we go out of our way. Yeah, they spent decades trying to separate the, you know, gay from child
pederasty.
Yeah, you can separate the men from the boys, but not Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, and then here comes Kevin Spacey, who just destroys decades of work with.
Oh, by the way, can I say an eye-opening thing? I've watched only a few episodes of, and like parts, really a few parts of episodes of House of Cards. It looks like a good show. I don't really have the time. I don't feel like committing to it.
I watched the first episode and was like, nope.
But I will have to say that I sent you guys an article where a producer on House of Cards told one of the child actors, if Mr. Spacey invites you to his trailer to play Xbox, make sure you bring somebody with you. And I went, wait, Kevin Spacey's an older dude. He definitely grew up in that point where, we really don't play a lot of video games. So I'm like, did he like get video games just like how Michael Jackson built an amusement park in his backyard?
Of course he did.
My wife though did point out the fact that his character plays video games. That's one of Underwood's
yet
time passing. So, and Kev and, And say what you will about Kevin Spacey's proclivities, I consider him a fantastic actor, and does not strike me as someone who would be beyond buying himself an Xbox and a couple of Underwood's favorite games just to get a feel for them.
Or use it.
And then you use it to lure, you know, 12-year-old boys into your room so you can finger their butthole. And get them drunk. And I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yeah.
On that note.
Good night, Internet.
Is there anything that we can use to take that mental image out of our minds for the end of the show? Please, yes. Somebody.
All I got to say is good night, Internet. Check under your bed for Kevin Spacey. Oh, my
God. And if you find him, get a chainsaw bayonet.
Bingo.
Chainsaw bayonet.
There you go.
What chains? What tooth count for Spacey?
it's going to be the newest controversy. It's going to be, instead of 9mm versus 45 or Glock versus 1911, it's going to be, you know, Husqvarna or Still.
Oh, it's the sheer talk of bar length.
all
going to be bar length. But yeah, I never really thought about that. What tooth size is better for not binding? I think you want smaller teeth, because human flesh is a whole lot.
Bind up the blade. Yeah. With smaller teeth, you gotta, well, it depends. So on for bone, you want the smaller teeth, I would think.
Oh my God, you guys.
But for the fleshy parts, I think you'd want the bigger teeth.
The soft, squishy parts.
Yeah.
The bigger teeth wouldn't bind up?
Nah. Not on soft tissue. I mean, if you hit a good solid rib, yeah, it'll probably bind up on that.
Just use lots of bar grease. Remember to use lots of bar grease.
Yeah. Grease your bar.
And make sure you wear protective clothing, because that's going to go kick back like a slumber.
That's right. Oh, wear your Dexter suit.
Yeah.
And Kevlar underneath it. Yeah, you're right, because it's gonna buck.
All right, Internet.
on that note, good night, Internet.
Thank you.
Good night.
We'll be back next week.
Hopefully.
Scroll time, same scroll channel.